We welcome everyone in the name of the Lord for this midweek service. Before we begin, let's petition the Lord in prayer. Our Father God, we stand in awe of your greatness and your majesty. Father, this evening we seek your face, O God. We seek your guidance, we seek your wisdom, we seek your mercy. Father, so many times we fall short of your glory, your call to what and who you ask us to be. And Father, we ask that you would forgive us. We repent, Father, and we pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we would turn away and in turn become closer aligned with you in the likeness of the suffering of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit through faith. Father, it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me to Acts chapter 22, let's read together Acts chapter 22. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense which I make now unto you. And when they had heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, and also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went unto Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around about me, and I fell unto the ground. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one, Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood, and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men for what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. May the Lord bless this word. We just read an incredible opportunity. Apostle Paul was given an incredible opportunity here to profess and to proclaim something very powerful. A testimony. A testimony is an incredibly powerful thing. So powerful that in order to try someone in the law for a sin or a crime, you needed two. The profession by one's mouth of an account of a personal experience is powerful. Apostle Paul knew its power and took advantage of every opportunity. That's a challenge to us, brothers and sisters, today. When was the last time you gave your testimony? Not the testimony, I grew up in a Christian home, but the testimony of how far God has brought you. How far Jesus had to reach and pull you out of that miry clay. How dirty we were it not for the grace of Jesus Christ, were it not for his love and him crucified, were it not for the precious faith, that even that faith that we have in and of ourselves is not something that we generated. Apostle Paul uses this opportunity to give his testimony, knowing that, I'm not sure if he knew at this time, but knowing he had to go to Jerusalem, knowing that he'd have to be before Agrippa, coming up here in the end of, in a few chapters of Acts. Once again, seizing the opportunity to give his testimony. And the beautiful thing about his testimony And the example of what we can profess as followers of Jesus Christ is that testimony, even though we say it's our testimony, is it not anything but about what we did? Is it not all about Jesus? You see, we are saved by works, but not ours. We're saved by Jesus Christ's works and the work that he did on the cross for us while we were yet sinners. Today's April 24th, maybe not a significant day for any of you. Maybe it's somebody's birthday or an anniversary. But 19 years ago, I was baptized in Brunswick Hills Church. And I look back upon my life, and I see undoubtedly how far I was from the Lord. and how stubborn I was, and how defiant I was, and that with my fist shaking towards heaven, with God's breath still in my lungs, that's not my own, I thought I was something. Did not Apostle Paul think he was something? He had letters from the high priests, death letters, sanctioning him to kill anyone who professed the name of Jesus. Is it not a wonder that the other apostles were terrified at his name? But you see, in a sense, God didn't change Apostle Paul. God changed his direction. God made him a new creature. But that zeal that he had towards slaughtering Christians, God took that passion and pointed it to the cross. My brother and sister, think hard upon your testimony. Because it is your testimony and my testimony, that God can use as a tool to further his kingdom. Sure, it takes courage. And maybe we're not like Apostle Paul, where at the end of what we read here, after he gave his testimony, the audience lifted up their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live." Brothers and sisters, this is the opposition that we're battling against, is it not? A complete defiance. You know, the world will oftentimes, false preachers even, will say, thank God, and God this, God that. But name the name of Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord, and see if there's any opposition to that. You see, because it is in the work of Jesus Christ's saving work on the cross, that's what's threatening to this world. But if we hide our testimony and we keep our testimony to ourselves, how will they know? Galatians chapter 5, and you could turn with me if you'd like. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Which means, in case I didn't say anything specific, everything that's like these things, that's the work of the flesh. Of the which I tell you before, as I told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see, like Apostle Paul, the world opposes Jesus Christ. They oppose Jesus Christ and love the works of the flesh. Sometimes I forget that that's where I was. Sometimes I forget that I was a lover of the works of the flesh. And if I'm transparent, there's times when I need to repent. But thank God that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. You see, when we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, as I was converting, a thought came to my mind, how do I know I have the Spirit? How do I know the Spirit is inside of me? Well, a wise brother pointed me here, pointed me to the fruit of the Spirit. One who has the fruit, one who is attached to the vine, that nourishment will display as fruit. You see, a rotten tree cannot give forth ripe fruit. And a healthy tree cannot give forth rotten fruit. Matthew 7:15. Jesus talking about false prophets. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You see, as I was converting, I had to come to the realization that my faith, putting my faith into action, needed to bring forth fruit. Did it not? And as I was converting, I realized that my identity had to change. I was no longer called to identify as Andrew. I was called to identify as a child of God. And that comes with a cost, doesn't it? We spoke about that last Sunday, about what it would cost. And to give your testimony, sometimes that costs, doesn't it? It costs the uncomfortability. It may cost a friendship. But don't be surprised, my brother and sister. Don't be surprised when the world maybe doesn't receive that testimony. But the times when the Spirit is able to work in the life of one that is ready to receive it, boy, it makes it all worthwhile. Apostle Paul was very, very aware of what it cost him, being such a devout Jew. He uses some incredible words here in the first book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 15. Apostle Paul says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by grace. You see, Apostle Paul said that God separated him by his mother's womb. That doesn't mean he was born. He wasn't talking about the moment that he was born. He was talking about his mother faith. And God was calling him from that, out of that false doctrine. You see, that's something I also had to realize, that my salvation wasn't based upon my works. Ephesians 2 says we are saved by grace. We are saved by faith. We are saved by grace through faith unto good works. You see, I had the cart before the horse. And those that are maybe seeking, brothers and sisters, many of us testify that we have tried on our own, have we not? And if you're struggling, and maybe you have a works problem, maybe you're using the word as a mirror, hopefully you are, and you're analyzing scripture, and you're aligning, asking God to show me, teach me, Father, is there any wickedness in me? And he's revealing that to you. And you're finding that your works are lacking. That's not a works problem. That's a faith problem. You see, because our works are rooted in faith, and that faith will come out and display good works. And I thought I just had to keep doing and trying and doing them on my own. And Apostle Paul, same. He thought the more Christians he'd killed, the closer he would be to God. Boy, he missed the boat. Thanks be to God that he was blinded on that road to Damascus. And thanks be to God, all praise be to God, that I was taken out of that mire. Something else I had to learn. 2 Corinthians, Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he talks about taking our thoughts captive. And it's interesting terminology he uses. It's almost like a military term, taking your thought captive. And if you could think about taking a thought captive, you question it. You interrogate it. Where are you from? How did you get here? I was sharing with a brother, and we were talking back and forth. We were talking about some of our triggers. Satan really, really knows exactly where to test us, doesn't he? And Apostle Paul in the Bible here, and the Spirit is calling us to self-evaluate ourselves. And to self-evaluate ourselves in line with what Scripture says. And that self-evaluation, present in the fruit of the Spirit, telling us we need to be aware of even our triggers. Our triggers, our propensity to sin. And in our discussions, we were talking, and this brother made a great point, and he said, you know, our prevention to sin, our hedges should be just important, and we should hold them so cautious as the sin itself. And if we think about that, if I know I shouldn't be somewhere, this is something I had to learn. If I knew I had a propensity to sin in a specific way, that the preventative maintenance of not committing that sin should be just as great and so important to me than not sinning itself. That aligns with Jesus Christ's teaching. You know, the Jews were fine with not killing their brother, physically killing him. It was okay. but boy, they hated his guts. Jesus ups the standard. He says, in your thought, taking your thought captive, grasping your thought, interrogating it, and bringing it under submission to the Lord, he's asking us to take our thoughts and give them to the Lord, even our thoughts. And that even if we think about hating our brother or a thought before the act, that it's just like doing it. That's something I had to learn. With a few waiting baptism here, that's something you'll have to learn too. I also have to learn that life, my spirituality didn't peak after my baptism. Satan really showed me that I had a lot to learn. Grace showed me I had a lot to learn. That salvation by grace, I didn't earn it. Galatians 3 says that Abraham was imputed justification by his belief. You see, even in the Old Testament, you had the Old Testament believers looking forward to Jesus Christ. And the New Testament believers, us now, are looking back to Jesus Christ. Everything, is it not pointing to Christ? And we just sit and marvel how great of a God we serve, how much love that he has given to us. So in the Spirit, brothers and sisters, consider your testimony. Never forget that you were in dire need of a Savior. Never forget how far he ran to rescue you. And never forget that his arms are always wide open. My friend outside of Christ, that same Jesus that we worship, that is high and lifted up, he is ready and willing for you to also be embraced. See, all the anger that you feel, all the sadness that you feel, the emptiness that this world will leave you with, you know, the world will just beg you to come and indulge and then leave you hanging, won't it? Leave you high and dry, and you feel dirty, and you feel empty inside, and you're never fulfilled. Do you not read fulfillment here in Apostle Paul's testimony? Read in Acts 26 about his testimony in front of Agrippa. Powerful. Saddest part is Agrippa was almost persuaded. But that's free will. King Agrippa will stand on his merits, will stand on his choice to accept that grace of Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God that that Jesus Christ is still calling those today. So my friend outside of Christ, consider what the world has to offer. And look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who is ready and willing to receive you. Because his desire is that none shall perish, but that all would come to the glory and honor of our Heavenly Father. May the Lord bless this word upon our hearts.
There was the brother began the service with a testimonies. about each and every one of our testimonies. What is it like? And if there is 120 of us believers here, and if we brought out our testimony, it would be probably 120 different versions of testimonies. What has God done in our lives? What we went through? What discouragement? What encouragement we faced? What brick walls we hit along the way? Different than Apostle Paul's testimony. Possibly different than each and any person on this planet's testimony. But that is not important. Important is what has God done in our lives? Where did He bring us to? Most important is our submission. Submission to the Word of God. I'm reminded of Naaman the leper in 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman didn't understand why would Elisha send him to dirty Jordan to dip seven times and he was gonna be clean. We might not understand why do we need to do certain things that the Bible tells us. Elisha told him, go to River Jordan and dip yourself seven times. Naaman got upset. He didn't understand. It was hurting his pride. Why would I go to Jordan and dip seven times when we have so many better rivers in Syria, better than Jordan? Did Elisha change his request, change his directions? He did not. And if it wasn't for servants, for the friends, he would go home. He would walk home unclean. Are we searching for having to understand everything that is happening in our spiritual life? We know we won't. And it doesn't matter. If the Word of God is telling us one thing one way, we need to obey it. We need to submit. Will we understand it one day? Probably. We don't know. But if we don't, it doesn't matter. Apostle Paul, when he was on his way to Damascus, verse 4 says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, well, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? This was the question. This was the only question that Paul had. Lord, what would thou have me to do? All we need to ask about our salvation, what do we need to do, Lord? And he will tell us. Why are we doing it this way? We might not know. But it doesn't matter. He needs our submission. He needs our obedience. Naaman went to Jordan and he dipped himself seven times. Not six, not four, not five. Seven times as he was instructed. And he came out clean. Lord will clean us. He will cleanse us. If we do want to be cleansed, we just need to be obeyed to His will. And may the Lord give us soul, hearts that we would just ask, what would thou have us to do, Lord? May the Lord bless this word upon our hearts. Amen.